Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Joe McGee. Welcome to another issue of the Heroes of Faith. We've got some good stories for you today. One of the things I tell every time, I probably tell it too much, I had an opportunity to teach high school students for about 10 years the Word of God, and I teach a chapel class 171 days a year. And so I found a great Bible storybook across my old Bible school, big hardback book, still in print today. And I began to go through that, and people said, "Where'd you learn the Bible?" I said, "I went to a great Bible school, but I went through that Bible storybook 10 times in 10 years. And it was an incredible, incredible lesson. My kids loved it and benefited from it, my own personal kids and the class. So today, we're going to talk about what they call the school of the prophets. You know, even God had school. You know, people said, "Well, the school of the Bible." Oh, yeah. Every time, listen, everywhere they planted a cross in the history of the world, if you planted a cross somewhere, a Bible school broke out next. Next thing they do, started a school because they wanted to make sure every generation knew the Word of God. Because God said, if they read the scriptures, they knew. God said, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." And that's why we know in the New Testament, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, meditating the word day and night, 3 John 2, Joshua 1, 8, Psalms 1, 1 through 3. We know that our life comes from the Word of God. It's Jesus in written form. And so you got to read it, you got to meditate on it, you got to pray it, you got to think it. The Bible tells us, think on these things, whatever is lovely, honest, just, praiseworthy, a good report, think on these things. So I used to tell people, "Man, just get your Bible open and read a story." They said, "Well, we don't understand it." So I said, "Well, get you a nice modern translation." One of the things we got, I love the New Living Translation. I still use it. I study out of the King James, but I don't speak King James. So today we caught the School of the Prophets in 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. It was a time in Israel's history, they repeated it all the time. But it was another time when food was scarce in the land of Israel. Poor people had little to eat. And it was during this time that Elisha went to visit the young prophets who lived in Gilgal. So they got a school, and so he's going over to visit. "Hey, we got the school going. We're trying to train up the next generation of prophets." He wants to see how they're doing. So Elisha told the servants, "Put a large pot on the fire and prepare food for the prophets to eat." It'd be like today. You're going to go visit somebody? "Hey, you want to go to dinner? You have somebody come to the house. Hey, let's eat something. I'll fix a pizza. We'll cook a pot roast. You know, we're going to cook some meat." So every time you got together, you would eat. I joke all the time, saying, "You know, the first thing we do when we get to heaven, we're going to have a 7-year feast. We're going to sit down and eat. You're going to be a big marriage supper up in heaven." So every time you get people together, you're going to have something to eat. So Elijah said, "Put on the pot. It's going to feed them." One young man gathered the vegetables and the greens to cook for dinner, it said. But by mistake, he picked poisonous wild gourds, and he cooked them with the other vegetables. When everybody started to eat, somebody discovered that there were poisonous gourds in the food. And they cried out to Elisha, "Oh, man of God, there's death in the food." Elisha, like most men of God, he was not alarmed, didn't get upset. He asked for some meal, and he threw it into the pot full of food. No longer was the food poisonous. Then he commanded, "Serve the food so the people can eat." Now, most people say, "No, you got to throw that out. It's poisonous." "No, I'm God. I know what's going on here." He said, "I'm a man of God. Throw that meal, and that'll be fine." So while Elisha stayed with the prophets, a man brought him 20 loaves of barley with some ears of grain. Elisha knew how much the young prophets would enjoy the bread and the grain, so he told a servant to give the bread and the grain to the prophets for dinner. In surprise, the servant asked, "How can 100 men be fed just these few small loaves? There's not enough grain to pass around." Again, Elisha said, "Give this food to the people so they can eat. The Lord will bless it, so there'll be enough food for everybody." Then the servant obeyed, and every man had what he wanted to eat. And there was so much left over. It's like when Jesus fed the 5,000 with some loaves and fishes. There was enough to feed everybody. And when the Jesus finished feeding those thousands of people, the Bible says that the apostles took up 12 loaves of leftovers and followed that kid home. God is always the God of more than enough. God doesn't do anything halfway. He's always the God of more than enough. So Elisha said, they went down and said, later that day, Elisha said, listen, this place is too small for us. Let's move down to the Jordan. Let's build some new homes. So not only is the prophet said, hey, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to bless your food. Hey, let's get us a better place to live. So they went down and they approved the plan with the young men, and they cut down the trees along the riverbank for their new homes. While they worked, an axe head flew off one of the men's axe, and it dropped into the river. Now, I've heard this story as a child years ago when I grew up in Sunday school. You think, man, is that possible? Oh, yeah. And so as the man saw it drop into the muddy water, he cried, oh, what shall I do? It was a borrowed axe. So they didn't have their own axe. It's borrowed. Not known as borrowed. I've lost it. You know, it's a borrowed axe. Elisha said, well, where did it fall? And the men showed him the place. Then Elisha cut down a stick. He threw it into the water where the axe head had fallen in. The men watched, and they saw the axe head rise up from the bottom of the river and float like a piece of wood. Elisha, reach out and get it. The man did, and the young men marveled at the mighty power of God that was shown by Elisha. Now, this is just one short story. This is just a very short story how the prophet goes to visit the school that he started for these other prophets, and he's still showing off. Hey, guys, it's not just what you read in the book. It's how you live. You know, without faith, you don't please God. Without faith, you don't whip the devil. It's all about faith. Do you believe God can do this? I remember when Jesus, you know, met the boy, father, he had a boy with epilepsy. And the disciples could not cast the devil out of the kid. He was demon-possessed, man. He's throwing himself in the fire, trying to kill himself. And so the disciples, they couldn't cast the devil out. Well, Jesus shows up, and they said, what happened? Well, we've been casting devils out. It won't come out of this kid right here. He said, well, and so he comes to the father, and he says something. Now, this is the Son of God. Jesus looks at the Father and said, do you believe I can do this? And the man said, well, is that important? He said, yeah, I might be the Son of God, but I'm limited by what you believe. Do you believe I can do this? And the guy gave a great answer. Well, Lord, I believe. Can you help my unbelief? He said, yes, I can. And so Jesus laid hands, and the kid was delivered that same day. I mean, he got delivered from the demons, and he was healed, and he had a long life. And so every day, I mean, when you read through the Bible, it's in a book form. I tell people, you know, if you look through the whole Bible, and of course, you know, I had a great Bible school, but Genesis covers 2,500 years. The entire New Testament covers only 70. When you start Matthew to Revelation, that's a 70-year period of history. Genesis alone is 2,500 years of period of history. And so God saw fit to put this book together. It is a divine book orchestrated by God. Every word in it is inspired by God. And it's an amazing thing. So, but what you have to do, you got to feed on it. I tell everybody, every seminar we've ever done, guys, if you'll just spend one, maybe 10 minutes a day just reading a proverb. If you read a proverb a day, it'll change your life. Why? Because it'll change the way you think. And the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so what happens is, every marriage seminar I've gone to, every counseling session I've done, when people get to talking, they'll let you know. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. You can find out what's wrong with somebody if you let them talk long enough, because their mouth's going to give them away. Be sure your sin's going to find you out. If you get them talking, a great salesman know this. You get somebody talking for 5 minutes, you can mark them. What do you really want? What are you really looking for? I can sell that to you. And so Jesus said, listen, do you believe I can do this? And every time, if you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus was always asking, do you believe I can do this? Do you believe I can do this? Why? Faith is critical. And again, it says, without faith, Hebrews says, without faith, Hebrews 11:1, you can't please God. Without faith, you can't whip the devil. Faith is a muscle. You know, everybody's got muscle. I remember when I was in school, man, playing football, baseball, and wrestling. Man, we worked out all the time. Back then, we didn't have a good weight room, but we had one. And there were no weight machines. They're just big, heavy things on the floor. But the more you worked out, you realize you didn't get injured at all as often. You can last longer in a ball game. You played better. You played safer. There were some guys, they didn't like working out. They just wanted to go play. And, man, those are the ones, you know, obsessing. I got to my senior year, we had several guys got hurt. We had knee injuries and back injuries and man, strained muscles. It's like, These are my guys. Listen, I grew up with them, but we're up in the country. Man, I don't work out. I just want to play a game. Well, you need to get ready before you play the game. You need to do the exercises and lift the weights and do that 3 mile run when we're resting every day. Nobody wanted to rap 3 miles. Man, we hated that one. Some guys, we had a big long run we'd do outside the school, and we had to run across a creek. And old Chickamauga Creek. And many of the guys, they take off real fast. And, man, why are they in such a hurry? We got to run 3 miles. Why are they in such a hurry? Well, we found out, because when we always got back to the school, we realized something. They'd beat us back there. I thought, man, they're in incredible shape. No, what they were doing, they were running real fast, because halfway through that 3 mile run, there was a Chickamauga Creek. There was a bridge. And what they would do, they'd get that bridge and they'd go underneath and they'd hide there. And then we'd run across and they'd sit down and several of them smoke a cigarette. And then they'd take a shortcut from that bridge back across the cow pasture to get back to the school. And they always beat us back to that school. I thought, what are they doing? Well, they're cheating. Well, you didn't know it until all of a sudden you have a match come up and you realize something. Man, they got pinned early. What happened? They're out of shape. Well, they run what we run. No, they don't. They're cheating. They're pulling up short. So here's got the story. What do you got? Well, we got prophets, but we're going to have to study. We're going to have to meditate. We're going to learn from the older prophets. You know, I tell people, I did my third trip to Israel last year. And if you're a rabbi in Israel, when you turn 50, you can't be a rabbi anymore. You got to go to the school. There's a rabbinical school. And so you go to the school, and then you teach the younger rabbis coming up. So at age 50, you go into semi-retirement, but you don't retire. You start to train the next generation. And I thought, man, how smart is that? What are you doing? Well, I'm not old, but I'm older, but I'm 50, but I've learned a lot, you know, being a rabbi all these years, and I'm going to pass on my wisdom to these new guys coming in. They're in the rabbinical school, and we're going to help them. And so you learn, you know, you want to be wise, walk with wise men, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. So what they did, even thousands of years ago, they had a school. And so there's Bible schools today, and I've been to two great ones, and I really enjoyed it. They're not perfect. There are no perfect schools. There's no perfect people. But what you do, you learn what to do and what not to do. I tell people, they'll ask them, where'd you go to Bible school? I said, well, it doesn't really matter. What I learned as much what to do as what not to do. Because you realize, people, there are people in Bible school that weren't living right lives. They weren't living what they should, doing what they should be doing. And you saw the good, the bad, and the ugly everywhere you went. There's no perfect place. But you learn. You learn from people. I said I grew up in a big family. I learned as much from my smart uncles as I did from the ones that weren't smart. And we would talk about it. Well, how do you think that happened? Man, that was a dumb decision they made, you know. And they're getting drunk all the time, or they're not showing up at work, or they're getting laid off a lot, they're getting fired a lot. It's like, what is it? They don't do what's right. The Bible in the King James calls it righteousness. And man, there's a lot of great scriptures about being righteous, doing what's right. And so what happened was Elijah got to school. What are you going to do? Well, I've learned the hard way what it's like to be a prophet. I didn't start off as a prophet. God called me, and I started following God, and he's going through the scriptures, and he's following other people. And so he's coming along and said, what do you know? I know we need to have a school to train the next generation. So he's got a school. But not only does he have a school, he's still using his faith. I mean, he's still using his faith. You know, what are we going to do? We're going to have a dinner for all the kids in school. Well, what happened? Well, somebody put something poison in the pot. Well, you didn't call 911. There is no 911. What are we going to do? I just prayed, and I heard from God. We're going to throw the meal in, take care of the poison. Go ahead and eat it. We're going to eat all that food. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to go build some houses. You know, you guys, the dorms are bad. We're living in a little nasty dorms, so we're going to go and build some better dorms, you know, for all the school of the prophets. And when they're down there, they didn't even have an axe. These are preachers or ministers, whatever you want to call them. It's a broad axe, and all of a sudden he's chopping the wood. Well, the axe head flew off in the river. Like, oh, man. They said, what's wrong? I lost the axe head. He said, where'd you drop it at here? And so Elijah cuts a stick, throws it in the water, and all of a sudden that axe head floated up where that stick was. He said, go ahead and take it out, and we'll finish it up. He was still living by faith. He didn't just have a school. It's not what I did 20 years ago. It's what I'm still doing now. I'm still believing God every day of my life. I'm still trusting God every day of my life. And so that's what's great about the Bible stories. And I tell people all the time, man, just read 5 minutes a day. Read a proverb a day. Read a psalm. Start going through the great stories, both Old and New Testament. These are the heroes of faith. These are people that had to believe God just like you and I did. And it talked about some of them. So listen, they were people just like we were. They had to bleed for rain. They had to bleed for water. They got to bleed for food. They got to bleed for protection. There's no magic wand. We're not Tinkerbell at some Disney resort. You get to believe God every day. And it's an honor to believe God. God is real. That's why when he took the children of Israel to the promised land, says the Bible says he tested them 10 times. So God didn't tempt them. He tested them. He's trying to get them to use their faith. God said, without faith, you don't please God. Without faith, you don't whip the devil. Faith is an incredible thing. We all have it. But you've got to exercise your faith to keep it strong. So that's what you learn from all the stories of the Bible. Use your faith every day. Believe God for something. Pray for your food. Pray for your family. Pray for your job. Pray for your country. Pray for those in authority. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The Bible gives you a whole list of what we can pray for. You'll start doing that. That faith muscle will grow, and it's going to be incredible. God, appreciate you listening today. God bless. Look forward to seeing you next time. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.